there's a definitely a tradition of strong men in power. Politics in Puerto Rico are usually characterized by the idea that one man would lead the change. And that is very common across Latin America and Central America. Yet there is also...
And sometimes small town America, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. But there is also a certain understanding or belief that because we are associated with the United States, things would not get to the worst outcome, that there is always this idea that the U.S. would intervene to avoid any type of excess of or abuse of power.
What was the effect of that idea on Puerto Rican politics?
Our politics are characterized by a very strong party system. What the party says is what the party goes, is where the party goes and where the people go. People follow the lead of one leader, which is usually the president of the party. Rarely are any independent candidates because the structure doesn't allow for that.
Right. And in many ways, it's very similar to the United States system because it's sort of bipartisan, right? You have the pro-statehood party, and then you have the Commonwealth Party. And so the governor represents the pro-statehood party. And then the Commonwealth Party, which, by the way, today is a celebration of the 60 plus years of the development of Puerto Rico's constitution, which actually birthed this, you know, kind of Commonwealth. And interestingly enough, the Commonwealth Party was led by this very important figure in Puerto Rican history, which you might actually place in the history of caudillos, which is Luis Muñoz Marín, right? Luis Muñoz Marín is the father of the Commonwealth, is the father of the development model, and so it's attributed with these kinds of qualities of a caudillo. Caudillo defined as a very charismatic, very powerful, and sort of historic figure. There are other elements of caudillismo that do not necessarily apply to Puerto Rico, and that I think that's where Dina Lee is trying to kind of distinguish the caudillismo. But I do want to say something connected to your question about the caudillismo and Latin America, and that is that the protests that you have seen for the last 12 days in Puerto Rico place Puerto Rico squarely within the tradition of massive national and social movements in Latin America. So it's very easy for a lot of people to think of Puerto Rico as being part of the United States and consequently influenced by U.S. politics, influenced by ways of doing things. Yet what we have seen in Puerto Rico in the last 12 days is really a retreat to the South, if you will, right? A retreat in terms of mass protests, demonstrations, peaceful across a wide cross-section of Puerto Rican social classes.
What distinguished these manifestations from previous ones is precisely the absence, the strong absence of political figures leading these mm-hmm. expressions. These were people organizing themselves mm-hmm. In the face of the absence of a government that functions the way it should for the people.
This is the first time in territory status that a governor has resigned. That's more than 60 years, right?
That is correct, yeah.
How big is that?
There are many things to take into account. This was a movement that came out very creatively in many, many ways. It was consistent. It was a movement that empowered the people for the first time. And I think that the most important work comes now. It's happening as we speak. Mm-hmm. But it's important to realize that this is a gesture of agency. Mm-hmm. Among people that have always been removed of agency.
Mora Toramorn, often in the wake of a government falling because of a protest movement, Egypt, for instance, the entrenched elites drop back, regroup, and take over again in a different form, a different face. Is that likely to happen in Puerto Rico?
Well, it remains to be seen. I think it remains to be seen. If we place too much focus on the resignation of the governor, I think that we're missing really the larger significance of what happened in Puerto Rico, because it is indeed about, it's an awakening moment. It means that when you look at the cross-section of the individuals that were involved in the mass protests of the last 12 days, you find a lot of young people, you find a lot of working class people, you find a lot of educated Puerto Ricans. And so what you find is a cross-section of Puerto Ricans from across social classes that are saying enough is enough. They made the governor sort of the central focus of their first demand. But I think that one of the things that is happening in Puerto Rico right now is precisely that. It is precisely how will the current establishment begin to meet the demands of these emerging movement, and how will they align themselves? Because it is evident that corruption actually goes both ways in terms of both political parties. And there are very few political leaders in Puerto Rico today that can actually kind of raise their hand and say, I am above all of this and I can lead, including the person that is actually supposed to follow in his footsteps, that herself is actually mere with all kinds of assertions about corruption and failure to respond to the needs of Puerto Rican people. So will the political elites, in an answer to your question, will the political elites sort of reassemble themselves? Perhaps, but I think that what I would like to see, and what I think is evident in the protests, is that out of these protests, new political leaders will come and will come to the surface to demand the kind of social change and the kinds of political decisions that are serving the people of Puerto Rico.
Danny Lee, how can the interest groups that Mora just laid out, the educated, the young elites, or the young and the other ones that she talked about, how can they maintain their network, their connections going forward?
I would like to first of all add to Maura's answer that there is an awareness about how social elites are playing the political book. The major mall, and probably the unique mall of Plaza Las Americas, which is the biggest shopping venue, had to close for 2 days precisely because of the manifestations. At the same time, you see in social media posts people asking for the manifestants, for the people, to go spend their money in Old San Juan, mm-hmm. where all the merchants were affected by all the protests and the manifestations. So there is an awareness of how money plays into politics. And we have to add to that the chat that revealed all of these underground dealings of the governor of, or the ex-governor with their close associates revealed that play of power and those connections. So people are very aware of that. To answer to your question, basically people are being connected in very contemporary ways. Social media has played a big part. I've seen colleagues mentioning that this is the summer Puerto Rican spring, in reference to the Arab Spring. So social media has played a part. People are organizing themselves in ways that are new and that share similarities with other social movements across the globe. And I think that there is an intention to keep those manifestations and those connections happening. Right now, they haven't canceled all the manifestations that they had planned, but they are giving them a new twist. Okay, so what's next? So they're already organizing to try to make this something that is not one day, but something consistent, a consistent effort.
Mm-hmm. Let's ask the glass half full, half empty question. I mean, it took so much to unseat this governor. I mean, a ineffectiveness in the wake of the hurricane, corruption up and down the scale, arrogance among the ruling party that caused some people to move away from him, and a concentration of power in his young clique of politicians that isolated itself. So just bad politics, but stupid politics. And then the arrogance displayed in this release of social media chat room stuff that displayed the disdain with which he and his circle held much of the populace. That takes a lot to unseat a governor. Is that something that should be depressing or uplifting? That he's gone, or depressing that it took all that?
I choose to see the glass half full. It took us 12 days, and it has never happened before. And people were able to organize themselves. And we live currently in the United States. We live Twitter by Twitter, post by post from the president and their associates. And we have seen similar accusations in the national sphere. Puerto Rico, the territory, the U.S. colonial territory, was able to unseat a governor in 12 days. And that was with 3.8 million people. How can we serve as an example to others? How can we serve as an example to national politics? Mm-hmm. An example of union and joining, because politics is a game easily played when you play divisional politics. However, we found the strength to find the similarities among ourselves and the concerns that we have, and share our concerns and do something about it. What is it for the United States, our nation, to do the same? What do they need?
Will the U.S. pay attention to this example?
That is,
I hope so. I sure hope so. And I really think that there's a group of people that I think we're placing a lot of our analysis in terms of the movement of the masses and the social movements that actually have made it possible. But let's not forget that the reason why we're talking about these Ricky Gate and the leaky and the Ricky leaks and all of that is because of the work of journalists. It was actually a center for Puerto Rican journalists that actually made it public and exposed it. So I think that having freedom of the press and the work that journalists are doing, both in Puerto Rico and in the United States, is very important, because they are revealing to the people, they are actually recording and documenting to the people exactly what is happening. The 800 pages of misogyny, homophobia, I think your average Puerto Rican knew that went on. I think seeing it in writing, And seeing the disrespect, and seeing how women, female leaders in the island were targeted, that's really what lit this match, and what I think would serve as a very important lesson for groups that organize. And I think I probably want to go back to a question that you raised a few minutes ago, because this is really the work of civic groups. I think we see the masses, and I think the masses are to be admired and I think to be respected, and much credit needs to be placed upon the power of the people. But underlying the power of the people is actually the civic sector of Puerto Rican society. They're the heroes of everyday organizing that has taken place in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma and Maria. And they have constructed, in the absence of the state, they have constructed civic society around all of these small groups, like it's the Colectivo Feminista, working class groups, youth groups. And so there is a civic society in American society that has been organizing day in and day out. And I think the time will come for those in the United States to really show the power in terms of mass expression and the kind of social movements that we have seen in Puerto Rico.
Will this misogyny displayed in the release of chat room documents have a lasting effect on the traditionally patriarchal political scene in Puerto Rico, and in fact in a lot of countries? It's not just Puerto Rico that's patriarchal in its politics. Will there be a lasting effect in uplifting the role of women in politics?
Well, women are at the forefront of this movement, mm-hmm. and not because of what is being said, mm-hmm. but actually what men are doing to women in Puerto Rico. We are facing a really serious problem with domestic violence. When you look at the statistics in terms of the number of women that die in the hands of their husbands and their lovers, it is really remarkable. The violence that women are encountering in the hands of their husbands, their partners, their friends, and the hands of the state. And so I think that it was written and that it was evident in the chats is really the last drop that spilled this glass and that have actually sent, when you look at the faces of the people that are in the protest, a lot of them are women. A lot of them are young women that are saying, we've had enough with this. We want to create a new Puerto Rico where women are respected. And where even those that are also in other borders of Puerto Rican society, like the LGBTQ community, are also respected. And so this is really a transformative movement in Puerto Rican society. And I think it is a movement that can spill onto the streets of Chicago and the streets of the United States because the actors are there.
This was a governor who was pro-statehood, as you mentioned. What will this do to the drive towards statehood?
I think that for the first time, people were able to think beyond the colonial status. I mean, there is a claim, and don't get me wrong, there is a claim to cancel the junta imposed by the United States. But I don't think that the statehood movement is strong right now, not in the island or in the United States. The same way, we can say the same about the independent movement. I think that perhaps the distinguishing trait in this movement was precisely that people for the first time were able to go beyond those labels. And I say this because political parties are organized under these labels. That is the main force that move group of people to vote in the island. However, they were not present in this manifestation.
Do you think it will realign politics toward more of the basic functions of government in providing security and economic opportunity and economic growth and services?
I can only hope. There are still a big group of movements looking to lead us back into, let's think about the colonial status. Let's think about what is our future. But I think that we need to go back precisely to the basic functions of what a government is and how a government functions before trying to answer any of those questions.
This is an observation that actually must be credited to Dinah Lee because she is really the first one who made it. And I think it needs to be said here. When you look at the massive wave of people and all of the flags that are in all of the pictures, and I encourage you to look at all of the pictures that came out of the protest, you do not see a single party flag among the people that were demonstrating, which I think really speaks to the point that she's making, and I think that it's implicit in your question, which is to look at these protests and these demonstrations through the traditional political lens really misses the way in which this protest was disruptive of that political lens and was really demanding broader changes in Puerto Rican society and was demanding that the state and the government of Puerto Rico fulfills its major role, which is to protect and serve the people of Puerto Rico. In the aftermath of Maria, the absence of the state in providing some of the most basic needs for the Puerto Rican people, including the burial of its people, for me represents such an affront to the Puerto Rican people, and such in Spanish, it has much more sort of strength, falta de respeto, that not even the dead were respected. And so I think that that really has pushed that political lens to the side. And I think people are demanding respect, end of corruption, and serious changes, which include, I think, as Dainalee has correctly referenced, the canceling of the debt, right? And also the serious reassessment of the current committee that is ruling out of Puerto Rico, that is actually promoting all of these policies that are really causing widespread vulnerabilities in Puerto Rico, that are causing widespread changes in Puerto Rican families and their ability to provide for themselves. And I think, as a scholar of migration, that are also responsible for the movement of Puerto Ricans from the island to the United States, because ultimately that's one of the ways in which Puerto Ricans cope with these massive problems in Puerto Rico, is to come to the United States, to come to Central Illinois, to come to, you know, the South, to go to Alaska, to go to all of the places where they can actually find the ability to provide for their families.